Just thank you, Father, for every life in this church, for our precious sons and daughters here today, Father. Father, we thank you for our beautiful brother, Jesus Christ, who is the head of this church. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you come, Lord God, through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, and you empower me, Lord God, to deliver your word today, Lord God, Jesus Christ. For, Lord, your word never comes back void, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory, and I thank you for everything you're doing in all of our lives. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Okay, today I'm going to talk about knowing your identity in Jesus Christ. A lot of Christians, you know, the devil tries to take away from us of who we really are, our identity in God, you know. And before we came to God, our old identity was in the world. Our identity was in the clothes that we wore, the cars we drove, the houses we lived in, our wallets in our back pockets. And even when Jesus was a kid, he got lost. He Mary and Joseph lost him one day. And when they found him, he was in the temple. And he was opening up the scriptures for the Pharisees in the temple. And the Pharisees were amazed at the knowledge that he had of the old scriptures. And Jesus, I'm getting a bit flustered here, sorry. Okay. The Pharisees were amazed at the knowledge that Jesus had as a kid. See, because he knew his identity. He knew who he was in God. He knew he was the Son of the Most High God. And then later on in life, before he went on to the cross, Jesus took off all of his clothes. And he put a little skimpy little towel around his waist. And he started washing the disciples' feet. You see, he felt no shame and no nakedness in doing that. You know, whereas if we stripped out in front of other people, we feel the shame and the nakedness in that. You know, but Jesus didn't, because he knew who he was the whole time. Even when he walked the earth, he knew he was the Son of God. He had the Spirit of God with him. He knew he was the Son of God. A lot of Christians, it's like they have amnesia. They don't know who they are. And then a lot of Christians know who they are, but they're not walking in that truth of who they are. Because the devil wants to rob your identity away from you. He wants to take what you have. He wants to steal it away from you. In your old life, before you came to know the Lord, he stole everything you had, and you didn't even know it. But now that you're more aware of things, he wants to steal your identity in God, of who you really are. So I'm just going to start on John chapter 3, verse 3 to 7. Jesus is talking to a Pharisee. His name is Nicodemus. And Jesus replied to him, "I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can produce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again." You know, I'm just going to explain what born again means, because I know there's a lot of new believers in the church here today. So before we came to know God, we have a spirit inside us. It's a worldly spirit and it's dormant. And when you give your life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and joins with your spirit and the two become one. And that's what born again means. You're born of spirit. You're not born of flesh anymore. When we die, this body's going to go into the ground and it's going to go back into dust. Whereas we, in spirit, in Jesus Christ, we go to heaven. And we're lifted up to the heavenlies. We're all ambassadors for the kingdom. You know, you hear of ambassadors from America and they get sent out to all these big countries and they're really honored they are, you know. But we're ambassadors for the kingdom of God, because God tells us this in scriptures, that we are ambassadors for the kingdom. We're his precious sons and daughters, you know. And he wants us to stand firm in who we are. He doesn't want us being robbed all the time. What prince is seated in the heavenly realms? We're seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenly realms. We're a heavenly Father seated there beside us. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And, you know, as Christians, we don't walk in that enough. I mean, we don't grab onto the truth of Scripture enough of what God is telling us of who we really are. You know, the devil wants to heap shame and condemnation onto us all the time. And sometimes the devil will hand you tools. He'll give you a shovel, a pick, or a spade, and he'll tell you to go ahead and dig up your past, because he wants you to live in that condemnation and shame all the time, the guilt of what you used to be and where you came from. Sorry. The Bible is a mirror. As a Christian, when I look in the Bible, it should reflect Christ. I should see Christ when I look in this mirror. You know, the Bible is a blueprint on how to live your life. You know, God says, "Love as I love you, to forgive as I forgive you." When we walk our lives, it's not just looking like Christ, but we have to have the attitude of Christ. You know the beautiful Beatitudes in Matthew 5? We have to have the attitude of Christ. Christ says we have a Christ-like mind. We just need to ask Jesus every single day through his Holy Spirit to teach us to be more like him. You know, and your attitude determines your altitude. You know, you're either a chicken or an eagle. We say that in Teen Challenge. You're either a chicken or an eagle. If you're an eagle and your attitude is good in Christ, you're starting on wings as eagles because God lifts you up above all the problems of the world. He can't come near you. But if you're a chicken and your attitude is thinking and you're a chicken and you're running around the ground all the time, you're running into all the problems of the world and you're going nowhere. You're just running around in circles. I'm just going to go into Philippians 4, 12 to 13. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation. First of all, he starts off saying, I have learned the secret. You know, it's a secret. And God unlocks these secrets that are within us through the Holy Spirit. But we have to seek him every single day. We have to come to know Christ more every single day. And God wants us to do our part too. You know, he doesn't want us just sitting in our chair and saying, sure, God will do it. And anyways, you know, that's what we have to do, our part in Christ. And if you keep seeking God every single day I ask God for a fresh importing of his Holy Spirit. Because God is Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so important in us that we walk in the Spirit and we learn to be more like Christ through the Holy Spirit. Whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. You know, you can do everything. You can't just do a few things. You know, me, I am way on my comfort zone up here, but that's okay because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you know. I'm not going to sit up there panicking, going, crap, I'm up here next. Not a chance, because that's what the devil wants. And God tells me different than I'm standing on what God tells me, you know. Years ago in the 80s, when there was a kid growing up, you'd heard of someone climbing Mount Everest, and it'd be all over the 6 o'clock news. John Bourke conquers Mount Everest. And God tells us that we are more than that. We are more than conquerors. We are more than any man climbing the highest mountain in the world. We are so much more than that. You know, and we have to start grabbing onto these things. Romans 8:29. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. He chose us to become like his son. You know, we have the Spirit of Christ in us, the Spirit of God inside us, and God chose us from before the very beginning to be like his very own son. But we have to have the right attitude, and we have to go for God and stop sitting back and letting the enemy jump all over us. So that his son would be the firstborn. Like, we're born again. We have to grasp this. We are not of this world. We are of the heavenlies. We're so much more than what the devil is telling us. So that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. You know, so we are Jesus Christ's brothers and sisters. And I was lying in bed at night and I was thinking, right, my heavenly father is in heaven and Jesus Christ is my brother. So in heaven, my name is Sean Christ. And that's just as simple as that, because it's the Spirit in Christ, in my spirit, and I am in Christ and we are in the Father. Alex Ferguson, you know, as it's talking about choosing us, choose is a big, huge word. Alex Ferguson, as you all know, he's the manager of Manchester United. And when he's, I should have picked another team, but when he's choosing a team, he chooses his best players, and God chose us to be on his team. But we are so much more than just players. We're his precious sons and daughters. So now we just really need to grasp onto who we are. If you're only new to the church, read the Bible every day, because God will speak to you without a shadow of a doubt. Ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit every single day for a fresh importing, and just go for God and stop listening to the enemy. Thanks very much.
Thanks a million, Sean. That was brilliant. Now there is no need for me to preach because you've all had it, so we can all go home and get some of those lovely biscuits. Thanks, Carol. Grand. You're very welcome this evening. My name is Mags, for those of you who don't know me. I am from Bray, but I'm currently living in Kildare. And, Andy loves Kildare. I'm a bitter Bray woman who wants to come back. So some of my story. Tonight we're going to have we're in a series, and Noel spoke last week, and I know he spoke on Sunday, this morning in the city as well, about mental health. And that's a huge, huge subject. And it's so big that I am quite overwhelmed to the slightest. And there's so many angles you can take on it. And I just want to recap on what Noel spoke last week, if you were here. One of his main points was taken from Philippians 1, verse 6. And it's, be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion. Now, when your mental health is not strong, that verse will be the hardest thing in the world to believe, because you're very overwhelmed. And that's when we hold on to the promises, because all these doubts will be coming into your head and you'll be like doubting everything. And that's when we stand on the truth that God is confident to complete what he started in you. If he has come into your heart and if he has worked in your life and you've given everything over to him, he will not let you go. That's a truth. Okay. Now what happens is, a lot of time with your mental health is you have lies that are put in your head and those lies take over. Okay. Now there's a lot of things that go on. It's a huge subject. And what I'm going to speak on today is everybody has a mental health. Today your mental health might be strong. Tomorrow it may be weak, because it is fragile. And this is what, you know, all the ads on the telly and everything is going on. Ireland has an issue with mental health. We don't talk about it. That's why Noel wanted to bring it in. He wanted to talk about it in church, because just as important as it is for you to be healthy in your body, you need to be healthy in your mind. Amen? And there's so much we don't know about it. We don't know what to talk about it. As I said, it's very overwhelming. What are you going to talk about? You know, there's 40,000 people in Ireland at this minute suffering with depression. You may be one sitting here. You may know someone. And it's really important that we know what we're talking about. And we're not just fluffing it. Amen? Okay, so what I want to start from is truth. Okay? And there's a verse, John chapter, the Gospel of John, verse 8, chapter 8, verse 32. Okay, there it is. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right? Now, the thing about this is, Jesus is in the temple, and people are like, who are you? What are you doing? What are you about? Are you really who you say you are? Are you Christ? And he kind of silences them all and goes, if you follow me, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And when Noel first said to me, this is what we're going to, if I'd speak on it, first of all, it was a bit like, ask the crazy lady to speak about mental health. Not a good idea. You don't really know what she's going to say. But I woke up, and I mean, I've known about this for like a month, and every day this verse has been in my head. I didn't know how I was going to talk about it. I didn't know what aspect I was going to talk about it, but I knew it had to do with truth. So this is where we're going to start. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay? The truth of who you are, like what Sean spoke about, knowing who you are. Truth has power. Because with Jesus, he's the only true thing in your life. Okay? He's the only one we can really trust. We have friends, we have family. If I'm your friend, I will let you down. If I'm your family member, I will let you down. Because I'm flawed. I'm a human being. We don't mean to. We hurt each other. We let each other down. We inflict wounds on each other. We aren't all that we're supposed to be. So the only person that we can really, truly trust that his words are true are Jesus. So his truth will set us free. Maybe not our truth, but his truth. You with me? Grand. So we're going to start with some home truths. Truth number one. I am absolutely crazy. No, I am. I'm absolutely crazy. That's my husband clapping for those who don't realize. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, she's so nice. She's so funny. She's so nice. Come home and live with me. There's a slide that explains the way I am. It says, she's crazy. And just when you think you've gotten to the bottom of her craziness, there's a crazy underground garage. Okay? That is me. I can fake it, right? Now, I can fake it. You're like, oh, she's so lovely. Yeah, no, I can be crazy. Okay? I'm not crazy all the time, but sometimes I can be. Now, one thing I just want to clarify. We're going to talk about mental health. Ooh, look, I got wrapped up. See, crazy. We're going to talk about mental health. And because people are uncomfortable, I'm going to use humor to talk about it. But I'm not saying, don't confuse what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm using humor to get you comfortable. and then I'll slap you around the head, okay? But I am, so let's get the thing. I am not talking, if your mental health is not doing great right now, you may need medication, you may need a counsellor. I am not making light of what you're struggling with. What I'm trying to make a point is that we all have a mental health issue. You may be strong today, you may not be strong tomorrow, but we're going to get you prepared, because when it is weak, there's things you can put in your life that can keep you holding on. Because when you're weak, you don't have the strength to hold on, okay? But we're going to make you strong enough to hold on, okay? You with me? Back to me being crazy, right? So I'm so crazy that I'll be sitting in the cinema with my husband and think this is absolutely hilarious, to suddenly, I always have a big bottle of water with me, pour it on him. Yeah, no, I've done it, right? I've done it. It's dark. He'll have to walk to the bathroom with a wet area. I think this is hilarious. This is what I think is funny. Another thing that I think is funny also is going to a friend's wedding, having a giggle in the car, and then to get them back, shoving their suitcase on the ground, shoving them, and then running off and leaving them in the airport, splat on the ground, screaming. I did that to Sarah Fitz, okay? I will get you back. Well, I don't want to talk about that right now. She tried to put me in a bin. Okay, don't ask. We're youth leaders. We're allowed to be crazy. Right, but I do have moments of madness. I'm eccentric. I love a laugh. And I probably need to be healed of that. So later on, I'll be doing an altar call so someone can pray with me for myself, dear Lord. But the point is, I'm crazy. And so many times, we are all walking around, I'm fine, I'm grand, I'm great, I'm wonderful, I'm great, hi, how are you? But I don't have to go home with you. You can fake it to me and you can fake it to every single person in this room, but I don't have to go home with you. But you know that you're crazy. And that's my point number two. We are all crazy, right? My best friend sent me this, and it's, hi, darling, you're crazy as shit, and you might want to tuck that back in, okay? Because every now and then, the craziness escapes, okay? Whether it is something like you come home and your husband or your partner hasn't done what you asked them to do, and you decide to pelt them in the back of the head with a block of cheese. That actually happened. I did do it. You probably need to pray for my husband more than you need to pray for me. Sometimes we're so good at faking it, and only sometimes the craziness gets out and someone might see it. Usually it's the family. Or maybe you just lose the head with someone in work. Or maybe you let a roar at the kids more often than not, okay? The point is, there's so much stigma about your mental health. We're all walking around pretending we're fine. We're all walking around. Even as Christians, we can declare everything over us. We have all the promises. We do need to know those promises, and I'll get to that. But sometimes we're living in denial. And there's stigma about mental health. So can we just be honest with each other and say we are all crazy? I want you to turn to the person beside you, right? And please do it. I want you to say, sweetie, let your craziness hang out. See? Because don't things just sound better when you pretend to be an African-American woman in her 50s? It's just better. It's like, sweetie, let your craziness hang out, okay? It's just so much. If I just went, Naomi, let your craziness hang out, it's not as funny. You got to put an accent on it, okay? This is leveling, okay? We need God. We need him. We need him to calm the craziness in our mind, okay? Now, crazy is we kind of use that for a joke, but I'm going to put that aside. There is a storm in a lot of our minds that is raging. And it is, our minds overrun with thoughts. Not all of them are good. Sometimes we don't know that we need to, don't just let every thought into your head. We need to evaluate it and say, is this a good idea? Now, I'm going to talk about me for a minute. I encountered Christ in my bedroom, on my own. I was overwhelmed, and I just cried out to him, and I said, God, help me. And he did. He came, and his presence, people can say, how do you know God's real? This is all farce, whatever. I know God is real because I called out to him, and he came, and he invaded my room, and he became real to me. He stopped being this mythical person in the sky and became someone who, when I called on him, came and reassured me. What did that look like? It looked like just as if there was someone who came, the presence of God, arms around me, saying it's going to be okay. I was overwhelmed because my mind was in bits. I was 17, and I'm telling you, I looked like it was grand. Except my sister probably knew, because I'd be like making some dinner or something, then I'd just start crying into the dinner. I'm like, weirdo, what you doing? I don't know. But I was in bits, and my mind was in bits. If I had a conversation with you, I'd then go home and lie in bed and evaluate it and pick out all the stupid things that I said and why you wouldn't like me and why I would be rubbish and why no one would want to be my friend. Okay? I couldn't stop those thoughts. I was tired because I wasn't sleeping. I was overwhelmed. I didn't know where the thoughts are coming from. I didn't feel like I was equipped or knew anything to stop them. But I called out to God. And he came. And what I can explain is, it's Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Jesus Christ. Okay? I am here today. I said that I am crazy. I'm only a fraction of crazy than I was before. If anything, I'm just a little bit more comfortable to share it. I used to cover it so much that you'd never know. But God's peace came, and it washed over me, and it washed over my mind. And I walked out of that bedroom a different person. Okay? So if you are struggling and you are so overwhelmed, there is a God here tonight who wants to heal you and touch you and free you from that. I am someone who's living proof of that, okay? He does. And I did walk out a different person. But maybe a good analogy that might explain it is, you know, if you've been in addiction and God has delivered you instantly, a lot of times you may still have to go to a rehab program to walk out the promises, okay? You've been healed, but you need to learn how to live in this new life, okay? So God can touch you, God can heal your mind, but it's not just bam, you walk out, everything's fine. There was a life that I had to learn to live, and there were promises in the Bible that I had to learn to take hold of, and there was a lot of doing. It wasn't just bam, I'm healed. Wow, no mental problems again. Wow, I'm amazing. God, I've no thoughts did come back, but I had to learn how to handle them. Right? And that's what we're going to talk about now. How to handle them. You with me? Grand. Am I making sense? Is there anybody out there? Say no one. See? Grand. One thing that's really important is admitting that you have a mental health issue. But I'm grand. I am covered by the blood. I am freed. I'm set free. I've taken every thought captive. I can come up with a lot more verses and we can spout them out. Right? They are true, but let's admit it. You need God. We all need God. The biggest part of mental health, because it used to be mental health was for people who had a mental health issue. So they might have, you know, like they're like the crazies or the mad ones or whatever. What we're finding out now with our huge suicide rate and our huge depression rate is we all have mental health. We all have this, okay? We have to look after our mind. You'll be strong one day, weak another day. It is very fragile. Do you know what? Life happens. And like Andy said earlier, you can be on top of the world one day and then a situation changes. You may have done nothing wrong. But life happens, and we need to make you strong for when life happens. C.S. Lewis, this is from Mere Christianity, which is a book he wrote, right? He is a kind of a famous Christian writer, okay? And he's actually writing about sexuality. But when I was reading this, I thought this is very good about all aspects of our life. First of all, being truthful and admitting we have a problem. And he says, before we can be cured, we must want to be cured. Those who really want help will get it. But do you really think you need help? Are you saying, oh, that's grand for Mags and a couple of the people who are laughing, but I'm grand? If you're not protecting against something, then you're more at risk. You have to first admit that you have a problem. Your mind is fragile. Your mental health is fragile. Now, I'm not saying you stay there. I'm not saying you wallow in it. I'm not saying you're a victim of it. There are things, we're going to get to it now. But the first step is saying, I need to protect it. You with me? Okay, next step. I'm going to go into the next one. First of all, this is just going to give you a bit of understanding. Anybody know about sociology? Grand. That's 4 or 5 people. Wonderful. So if I got this wrong, there's only 5 people who can point it out. Grand. So I did sociology in college, right? And a couple of years ago, but there's one thing that really stared at me. There's one guy who is the forefather, one of the forefathers of sociology, right? There's a couple of them. But this guy is called Durkheim, right? And he was a French Jew, okay? And he was really, really interested in a thing called social integration. And that's about how connected we feel we are with other people in society. But you could look at a church and it's like, how connected do you feel in church? How connected to each other do we feel? And he was interested because during his time, which is the turn of the century, everything was up for grabs. It used to be whatever religion said was to go, right? But in his time, what was happening was some people were like, no, we're throwing religion out. We're going to do science. We're just going to try everything, okay? And he was saying, well, how are we going to be connected to each other if we don't have this binding factor? Now, he didn't even believe in God, but he realized that there has to be something that holds us and makes us feel connected to each other. And he did a study on suicide, right? And what he found out was, he was like, why are some people more susceptible to suicide, right? Why do they suffer? What brought them to that point? And he was intrigued by it, so he did a big study. And what he found was, there was a couple of people who were more susceptible. And a lot of this hasn't changed now. Men, wealthy, and people who would come from a more Protestant tradition in their religion if they had none, right? And the reason was because at that time, at the turn of the century, women, they couldn't really live on their own. Do you know what I mean? Everything, they were forced, like most women had children. By default, if you have a child, you're kind of more linked into society because you're in schools, you're doing pickups, you've got neighbours, you've got family members. You know, it's very hard if you have a couple of kids to live on your own. One, you'll tell you need to get out. Two, you need help because for the safety of your children. You're more connected to people by default. So by that, men didn't have that. They could get up, go as they pleased, do what they wanted, especially in that time, totally live on their own. The other group were wealthy people. If you're wealthy, you can provide for yourself. You don't really need any help. Which seems like a good thing. You're doing well. You don't need anybody. But you know what connects you with other people? When you need them. When you need to knock next door and ask for a pan of bread because you don't have food for your children. In that time, that was realistic. You need family because you... There might only be one of you who has a job, so one person is feeding everybody. You're connected. It forces you to need people. And the other group was people who were more in the Protestant tradition of faith, because he was studying maybe some Protestant people, some Catholic people, and some Jewish people. And the reason he found that was people who are committed to Catholicism or Judaism, the Jewish tradition, they have loads of rituals and festivals. They have to come together. You have to go, say, to synagogue for Purim or to Mass because it's a sacrament. It's important. You can't actually be part of that tradition without committing to those things. Well, if you're a bit more of the Protestant tradition, it's all about you. You have a personal faith, and you can actually not go to church and still have a faith in Christ, and that's... Those things seem like, if you take them on their own, you're like, that's grand. But what he actually found out was, we don't do well on our own. Okay? Now, this is a guy who didn't believe in God, knew nothing, was actually rejecting anything to do with God or religion. But his findings proved what God said from the beginning. In Genesis 1:18, the Lord God said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." That's the second chapter of the first book in the Bible, okay? God laid it down from the beginning. You may want to be on your own. Like, it might be in your person. There's different personality types, and you might really, you're like, you can't stand people. People may actually irritate the out of you. But you need people. God made you that way. Just because it's your incline doesn't make it good for you. We need each other. From the very beginning, God looked and said, it's not good for man to be alone. And that didn't just stop there. You're like, that's back in the day. Even in the New Testament, in Hebrews 10:25, it says, don't give up meeting together as some people are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Okay. So you're taking someone who doesn't believe in God, who's trying to run away from God and trying to reject anything to do with the Bible, sits down, does a study of people, completely impartial, and finds out that, guess what? We need people. Guess who's been saying it forever? God. God's been saying it forever. How about we listen to him for once, yes? We need each other. Turn to the person beside you and say, I may not like you, but I need you. Okay, that's funny if it's someone you know. My apologies if you're just new today and you're sitting beside someone you don't know. Someone just told you they may not like you. I just want to clarify, you are very welcome here. We want you here. You are loved. It doesn't matter even if you're... I'm very sorry for insulting you. Okay. We need each other. You'll find as soon as your mental health starts weakening a little bit, you'll want to separate yourself. You won't feel like coming going for that cup of coffee with someone. You'll kind of just want to pull the covers over your head. Now, I know when you're in, say, something serious like depression, when you're in that hole, when that dark blanket is over you, that you are so overwhelmed that you can't get out of the bed for coffee, okay? I get that. I get that. It gets to a point where it's just too hard. But what we're talking about today is about putting things in your life to prepare you if and when that happens. Because if you've gone for coffee or gone to link group or are meeting and having a connection with people around you, when that dark blanket comes on top of you, you may not be able to get out of bed, but you'll have those relationships that people will come and get you and reef you out of bed because it's good for you, okay? We're creating something that when you aren't strong enough, someone else will be strong enough for you. That's why you need people, amen? Grand. A huge part of your mental health is that truth, okay? That although you may want to separate yourself, and it may not be natural. If you're a social bunny, great. Get in there, get in the mix. But social people, I'm one of them, will love being around people. But I can still hide from you. I can be at every meeting, I can be beside you, I can be holding your hand, I can be listening to your problems, but am I really being honest? Am I allowing the truth of what's going on inside me to let you know? Okay? The truth will set you free. Sometimes we've trapped ourselves by not being honest. See, those two personality types, one will run away from people and you won't physically see them. One will be right in front of you, but they've run away inside. I want you, for 2 seconds, be honest with yourself. Who are you? Which one are you? Which one are you? Because if you don't know which one you are, you don't know what to protect against. Okay? Don't worry, you don't have to turn to the person beside you. This one's a personal one. Just We need to be honest about who we are. Now, God has a huge plan for every person in this room. If you ask him into your life, like I did in that bedroom, he can transform you. And he can do that work in you. But what we're talking about is walking it out. So the next point is, the truth is that this is going to take effort. Very few people want effort. Wouldn't it be great if we just got, bam, everything would be grand? In an ideal world, this is a church, right, where we openly say every Sunday, you are welcome here, we want you, you're in a safe place, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter about where you've come from or even what you're struggling with now, we want you here, okay? We say that and we mean it. But look around, we're all people here. People will let you down. Ideally, if we've done stuff right, when you're struggling, someone will be calling, someone will be texting you, someone will be around you. But sometimes there is a break in the communication. And sometimes someone doesn't come and help. Right? Let's prepare for when everything isn't dandy, that maybe someone, people haven't texted you. Now, this happens a lot in churches. You'll find people disillusioned and leaving and stop coming to church, which the Bible clearly tells us in Hebrews, I've read it earlier, that we are not to stop meeting together. There's no excuse for it. Now, it's hard. Believe me. Sometimes I don't want to be here. Sometimes I don't want to be around. But I've taught myself that just because what I feel doesn't make it right. We have to make an effort. 2 Timothy 1:16 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." God wants you to have a sound mind. Okay? He wants you. That's clear. If you think part of God's plan for your life is that you're going to struggle forever with this, that is a lie. Let's replace it with a truth. The truth of the matter is God has declared that he has given you a sound mind. Yes? But part of that, which is 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Now, you're like, oh, what's that got to do with the other one? The other one is a statement we take hold of. That one is the rolling out of it. There's doing in it. There's doing. To demolish something, you have to put a bit of effort into it. You have to pick. If you're demolishing a building, you don't just go, eh, that's not working. Eh. You have to, like, kick it. You have to take a sledgehammer to it. You have to get a JCB. You have to get something with a big, big hefty thing of weight and knock it down. It's a doing, okay? Taking captive. That's a doing word. Taking. Reach your hand out. Taking. Reefing it. Okay, taking it. Okay, some of us, our muscles have gone dead. Our spiritual muscles have gone dead. Our practical muscles have gone dead. We're just like, God, fix it, God, fix it, God, fix it, God, fix it. God has declared you have a sound mind. Part of walking it out is effort. The truth of that is you have to put effort into it. There's a lot of doing. The doing is taking captive every thought that rises up against the knowledge of Christ in your life, okay? Another doing thing that is maybe more practical. My husband always slags me because I'm not very spiritual, but I am very practical. You need to develop relationships with people, friendships. If you want to walk with Christ and you want to really do it, the doing part of that is developing friendships with other Christians. You need to develop real, honest relationships and friendships with the people in the church that you make your home. Where you are truthful, where the truth of it, you can be honest, where they can help you, where you can help them. It's a doing. You look at kids, if you have children, It's perfectly normal for a four-year-old, two four-year-olds to meet and be like, hi, I'm going to be your best friend. Cool. And they skip off happily ever after. They're used to making friends. Teenagers, a bit harder. They're a bit like, hey, what are you doing? Okay, so fine. Yeah, okay. Oh, you like One Direction. I like One Direction. That's amazing. Oh, no. Right, that's the way. And eventually they're friends, right? As adults, we're not used to making friends. It's foreign to us. As you get older, that thing that, you know, like that the guy Durkheim I talked about, we're getting steps further away from being closer to each other. As an adult, it is odd. Hello, I'm a 32-year-old woman. If I walk up to a stranger, I don't, hi, I want to be a friend. See, we automatically laugh. See, issues. But we have to find a way to get over this because God created us to have relationship and friendship with each other. He said it in the beginning, it is not good for man to be alone. I'm not just talking, it's not just about marriage and coupling and all that crap. It's about real, honest relationships. If you want to protect your mental health, you need good friendships. Where will you get good Christian friendships? Here. Whatever church, if you don't go here, if you're just dropping by, go find a church where you can find people that you can connect with, where you can be the weirdo like me that can walk up and say, hi, I want to be a friend. It's funny, but it's foreign. We need to find a way past this because your mental health is important. And finally, thank God she's finishing. Mental health is personal. Like, we're used to talking about, like, my mental health, or the ad is like, look after your mental health, or, you know, it's a private matter. But you know what that has happened? By making it a private matter, it's not working. 40,000 people are suffering from depression. We have the highest suicide rate. The amount of people who are just on the edge and no one knows about it. We need to change it from my mental health to our mental health, okay? If your person beside you is struggling, then you're struggling, yes? We need to get out of our comfort zone and make the effort because it's life or death, people. Do you know what? It used to be the plague that killed people. It used to be like crazy diseases. Do you know what's killing people now? Loneliness and depression and mental health. If we don't get serious with it, we're going to keep on saying goodbye to our family and friends because we wouldn't get off the couch and go and check that they were okay. Now, this isn't bashing around the head. This is just talking about it, because by talking about it, it's taking it out of the darkness. The way we're going to end is, we all know someone. If there's 40,000 people in Ireland struggling with depression, you know people who are struggling with depression. Maybe it's you, maybe it's someone around you, but there has to be some sort of doing. We prayed for people, all the names here, but tonight, I'm going to end it a bit different. We could do the prayer thing, we could come up and, like, that has power, but I think something practical would be, if there's someone that you know is struggling, and maybe you don't know how to help them, ask God. He'll give you ideas. Proverbs says this. That okay? Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure everything out on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health and your bones will vibrate with life. Honor God. Your body. Okay, that's Old Testament. Shock horror. That's not just your body. In the Old Testament, it was all mixed in together. All of you will vibrate with life if you honor God, if you do things His way, if you listen to His voice. His voice is for all of us. It's doing. It's running to God. Maybe you need to run to God for someone else. So tonight, what we're going to do is, there's a box of markers. I'd like you all to stand, please. We're going to pray. And then I'd like you to take a marker and write the name of the person. If it's you and you're absolutely mortified and you can't handle it, don't worry. I'm going to write me up here because I need help. Okay? There's going to be so many me's up here. No one's going to know whose me is me. Okay? So this is practical. They're all around. Andy's going to put them either side. But we're just going to pray. Lord, we just thank you, Father, that you are for us. That what is in darkness is going to be brought to light, God. Not in a name and in shame, but in a freeing way. Lord God, we want to know your truth and the fullness of your truth. We want to know your truth, and your truth is that you want us to have a sound mind, and you want us to live a healthy life, and your thoughts are good towards us, and there is no shame in you. There is no shame in you. You just love us the way we are, even if we're having a weak day. And God, we just pray as a church together that we would be a source of truth for people. That they would be set free and liberated. We all need you. We're all crazy. We need you, Lord, tonight. We need you to come home with us to the real us. And we just declare that your promises are true, that we are loved, that we have a future, that you will complete what you've said you will do in us, Lord. And that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And no weapon formed against our friends or our family, God. We commit tonight to standing in the gap for the people who are too weak to stand in the gap right now. And setting ourselves up to have a healthy life. Dear God, we just trust in you and your holy name that you can do these miraculous things, that they are not words, but they are truth. And the truth will set us free. Amen. We're going to put some music on. And I really, really encourage you. Please come and write those names up. Amen.